defending liberty 1 hour at a time, and broadcasting from the RWB Network Studios in New York, you're listening to The Rhino Report. Always right.
Let's get ready to rumble!
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
She got chunked. You are very rude.
If you want to turn yourselves into a greasy spot on a country road somewhere, go right ahead.
And now, here's your host, The Rhino.
Hello, hello, hello. I am The Rhino, and this is my report. Today, March 25th, 2016. Today is Good Friday. If you're watching mainstream media at all today, you wouldn't know that because they just don't talk about things like that. It may offend somebody. But there's a lot going on today. I mean, like, more than the average Friday. So, inquiring minds want to know about hashtag Cruz sex scandal. President Obama tries out for Dancing with the Stars. The battle of the better halves continues. ISIS number two is now 6 feet under. And I'm going to give you my take on why raising the minimum wage in this country is not economically feasible. The politicians know it, but they'll never tell you, but I'm going to tell you. Plus, we have new polls and a letter from Comrade de Blasio. All of that, plus a little bit more, not too much more, maybe a couple of fun stories, but first we have to do the same thing we always do and salute our country with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yeah, right. The Pledge of Allegiance, always brought to you here on the Rhino Report by the kids. You can always find us, as you guys are well aware, Red State Talk Radio, Studio B, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday at 1 a.m. Eastern, and also on ICRN, which is the Internet's premier conservative radio network. We're there also on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, but at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. So about 8 hours apart, so maybe if you're up late and you catch the show, great. If not, get up in the morning, make some coffee, and listen to the show. Maybe gather the kids around. It'll be a fun family affair on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday mornings on ICRN. You can always find us, as you guys know, on Podbean and TuneIn and iTunes and Spreaker and Stitcher. We're all over the place. I'm on Twitter like all day long. A lot of you know that. A lot of you converse with me. And I like it. I like the back and forth. I had some back and forth yesterday with a few people. Hey, listen, it happens. That's what we do. We're supposed to jog the argument a little bit. You know, I don't like shows that wind up being an agree-a-thon. When you have those shows, it's just a bunch of guys nodding at each other. Yep, yep, you're right, yep, you're right. Well, listen, we all have differences of opinions. Some of us take to the airwaves. Some of us take to social media. You know, some of us just hold it all in and fester. And, you know, I guess that's not my preferred way of doing it, of course. I like doing it this way a lot better. That's me personally. But, yeah, so, you know, you'll catch us. You can't avoid us. It's easier just to learn to love me. That's way easier than trying to avoid me because I'm everywhere. I'm everywhere. And I think next week we're going to have a relatively large announcement. I'm hoping for Monday, but maybe Wednesday. So you guys have to pay attention. It's coming Monday or Wednesday. Some of you might know what I'm talking about. Others of you have no clue, and I know you just can't wait. You're going to wait with bated breath over the weekend. I totally get that. So, you know, tune in next week also, and you'll hear what the big announcement is. And it's something that's going to propel us forward in our cause and in what we're doing here. And it's good news. So, I guess speaking of good news, today is Good Friday. However, you'd never know it if you were listening or watching any sort of mainstream media today. They don't care. Even something like Fox. Fox News, they may run a little, you know, 8-second bumper after Hannity tonight, or maybe O'Reilly saying Happy Good Friday or whatever. They don't care. Rupert Murdoch doesn't care. Roger Ailes doesn't care. CBS, ABC, NBC, the Alphabet Networks, they could care less. Ben Carson actually addressed this today. Ben Carson said, the mainstream media would be indifferent if all the Christians just disappeared and we weren't here anymore. Because a lot of it, like, a lot of the anti-PC stuff comes from Christians. Because we've seen ourselves be persecuted. And I don't mean just back in Roman times. I don't mean just back during Crusades. I mean now. There's a severe persecution of Christians around the world. And what I always find odd about it is some of these more liberal networks and these liberal candidates, they'll never say the words radical Islam, right? When you have a radical Islamic extremist, they try to kill you. When you have a radical Christian extremist, they try to love you. Isn't that so weird? Like, why is it that mainstream media doesn't embrace that? And to me, that's just, it's unfathomable. And I have some good friends who are preachers and who are priests and deacons and ministers, and they don't really understand it either. I think a lot of it has to do with that it's not sensational. Loving somebody is not sensational. It's not sexy. But a bunch of masked men driving around in 1992 Toyota pickup trucks through a desert with machine guns bolted to the back, that's sexy. That's good news. We can send a reporter over there. But no one sends a reporter down to the church when the church is giving out meals to the homeless or giving them jackets. No one does it. When they do it, it falls under the category of human interest story. It doesn't fall under the news category. They send out whatever bumbling idiot they have that does their human interest stuff, because we all know who that person is at our local stations. There's always that bumbling kind of fool that really can't handle real news, and that's the person they do, you know, some of these dog stories or, you know, the biggest cookie in the county or some of these stupid stories that, okay, for some people it's not stupid. I understand that. But that's always the person they send out. Oh, we're here at the so-and-so Methodist church or Baptist church or Catholic church, and they're handing out jackets. Back to you, Sue. That's what it amounts to. It's not sexy. It's just not. And I guess that's part of the problem. And, you know, Ben Carson tries to select his words rather carefully, unlike myself, unlike a guy like Donald Trump, and maybe even lately Ted Cruz. Ben Carson. He has this... You know he's always thinking, right? You can see it in his eyes. He's always thinking. And he doesn't say this in so many words, right? He tries to have a broad appeal to a lot of people. He's always made himself accessible to the Alphabet networks, even though they essentially buried his campaign after that story with him trying to stab his friend and hit his mom with a hammer. Okay, not great things, but it was 50 years ago, folks. Get over it. His mom obviously got over it. His friend got over it. No one got hurt. And it was in his book. He wrote it. He admitted it. But he made himself accessible. And he just kind of said, listen, you guys wouldn't care. If we just all disappeared, you wouldn't care. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but I guess I kind of agree with him. I do. I use this weekend, Good Friday and then Easter, I use this weekend to reflect. And for some people, they use this weekend, as the scripture says, in a sort of renewal fashion. I use this weekend to look back. Now, I know a lot of people use it or use Christmas and the new year to look back on the last year and where they were and how they got to where they are and where they like to go in the future. You know, we make resolutions and all this sort of fun stuff on January 1st or December 31st. But I think this weekend, For me, it's always a time to look back. And I enjoy that part of it. Because we're always so focused on where we're going and how we're going to get there. We don't stop to think, how did we get to where we are now? And that sometimes is the more important story. And if we take that and we parlay it into a political conversation, and we want to talk about the current state of the Republican race, we can look back and we can really see where a lot of this stuff began between Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. And you know what? I'm leaving John Kasich out of it, because John Kasich shouldn't even be involved. If you can't mathematically win, you're only in there to be a spoiler. Is that the kind of game we play? Is that what's normal? Now, in baseball and hockey and football, you have spoiler teams all the time. Teams that didn't make the playoffs or aren't going to make the playoffs because they're mathematically eliminated. And they try to beat teams that may or may not make it. Bubble teams, they call them. They try to play spoiler. Well, that's one thing, because that's in the venue of entertainment. I'm a big Mets fan. I'm a big New York Islanders fan. I like the New York Jets. Whether those teams win or lose, you know, for me, the sun will still rise tomorrow. I'll be happier if they win, but it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, as big of a fan as I am, and I've had season tickets to all three of those teams, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. But in the political realm, especially the presidential realm, now that we've elevated the presidency to what it is now, this very imperialistic type of presidency or person, it matters. This stuff matters. 2012, when you had Romney and Gingrich and Santorum going at it tooth and nail, that's what doomed us. Forget the fact that Mitt Romney ran a terrible campaign after he was the nominee. Almost like he didn't want to win. The guy disappeared. He ran a campaign almost very similar to that of the 1960 Richard Nixon campaign. Like, he wanted to win, but he tried so hard not to. That's what I felt like Mitt Romney was doing. But regardless of how he ran his campaign, the backstabbing, the name-calling, but during the primary process, is what turned a lot of voters off to Mitt Romney. Now, a lot of people are turned off to Mitt Romney now, but for other reasons. Because he's inserting himself where he doesn't really belong. You know, he's sort of like the figurehead of the Republican Party. And I don't know how we got that way. I didn't vote for him to be a figurehead. You know, he was the tallest midget in 2012. But now we look at him as being this head of the party. I mean, if you look at the people who are considered, or I guess mainstream media considers to be the head of the party, what do you have? Paul Ryan, who let this terrible budget go through? Mitt Romney, who says in Florida to vote for Rubio, turns around in Ohio, says to vote for Kasich, and then goes to Utah and says to vote for Cruz? Allegiances to nobody. Why should we as American citizens feel he'd even have an allegiance to us? His allegiance is only to the RNC and to the GOP, the establishment wing of the GOP. He doesn't care about us. He just doesn't. If you look at Paul Ryan, and you look at Mitt Romney, and you look at Reince Priebus, I look at him when he has interviews on Fox News or whatever it is, he says the same things over and over again. He could be a politician himself, really, at the end of the day. And he always looks kind of scared. And when he's not scared, he's snarky. Now, you can't be both. If you're going to be snarky, you better be confident. And if you're going to be scared, you should not represent a major party in this country. People still look at John Boehner as being this kind of figurehead in the Republican Party. I mean, really, let's be honest here. One of the most hated speakers ever. Ever. So when you have guys like Ted Cruz and you have guys like Donald Trump going at it tooth and nail, there's a betterment happening here. The party can be better, and it will be better. And you know what? If it won't be better, if it can't be better, then there'll be a new party. And Cruz or Trump will just have to be the head of it. They'll have to be the Mitt Romney, or they'll have to be the Paul Ryan, or they'll have to be the Reince Priebus or the John Boehner. In many ways, the Democrats see Obama as being the head of their party. And that's sort of apropos. He's the president. He's a Democrat. He's sort of the head of their party. We don't have someone like that. Ted Cruz is not like that right now. Donald Trump is not like that right now. And the more they go back and forth, the more visceral this gets, the more people are going to be turned off. Now, I hate to think that Ted Cruz is going at Trump so that he would turn off independent and Democrat voters in November. I don't think Cruz would be working as an agent of the RNC, is I guess what I'm saying. That doesn't seem to be in Ted Cruz's bloodlines. He's hard to get along with. People don't especially like him, is what we're told. Now, we don't know that for a fact. It's what we're told. Donald Trump is doing something completely different. He's doing something that no real normal everyday citizen, because Donald Trump really fits into that category. Yeah, he's a billionaire, that's fine, but he's like a blue-collar billionaire, is what he is. He's doing something that no one's done before. He's taken the how to run for president rulebook, and he's torn it up, and he's lit it on fire, and he's walked away from it. He doesn't use it. And it worked. People are happy to see that. And those who say Trump isn't a conservative already picked their pony a year ago. Because Donald Trump is pro-life. He wants to get rid of or stop illegal immigration. He wants to stop Muslims from coming here until they're vetted. He doesn't like Common Core. What is not conservative about him? His trade views? The fact that we shouldn't get screwed on trade deals? That makes him not a conservative? Well, maybe if you want to say that he doesn't fit the dyed-in-the-wool conservative, then John Kasich is a liberal. Ted Cruz, fine. If he's your conservative, then fine. He's very conservative. We'll get into the stuff with the Inquirer here in a minute. Maybe that's not so conservative of him. But maybe Donald Trump's more of a patriot. Maybe that's a better name for it. Because a lot of times we confuse the two. There's patriot and conservative we say are synonymous. But they're not. They're not synonymous. And I know a lot of you might be offended by that. But they're not. A patriot is a nationalist. That's what a patriot is. Somebody who puts the country and the betterment of its citizens first. A patriot and a nationalist are synonymous. A conservative is just a brand of politics. You're pro-life. Okay, great. You're pro-death penalty. Okay, fine. I'm with you. I'm with you. You can be a conservative and you can also be a patriot. But just because you're one doesn't mean you're the other. And these two are beating each other up so badly that the establishment is salivating. They love this. They love it. Each candidate said, unite behind me. Unite behind me. Well, they always say that, especially when you get into March and a few of these ancillary other candidates drop off. Unite behind me. But who would you unite behind? It's tough. This is a tough decision. And the more we wrestle with it, and the more we fight with each other, your Cruz crew and your Trump supporters, Trumpsters, whatever you want to call them, the more separation we're going to create, and we're going to leave our own power vacuum in the party. And it's going to be taken back over at the convention by John Kasich, by Paul Ryan, by Mitt Romney. They're going to take back over. Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, They're waiting in the wings, they're being very quiet, and they're waiting for Trump and Cruz to destroy each other. They're waiting for us, supporters of either candidate, to destroy each other. And we can't let that happen. We can't let it happen. At this point, the path to the nomination is much clearer for Donald Trump because of the delegate count. He has to win, 55% of the remaining delegates to win the nomination. He's going to win Jersey, he's going to win New York, and he probably will win California. Ted Cruz has to win 82%, or in that area, of delegates. And he's starting to get a little irrational. I don't think, if someone says to you, you have an 18% chance of winning, that's not a good bet. It's just not. And I don't think that's the time to start throwing mud. And now some of you are going to say to me, well, Donald Trump threw the mud first. And I'm gonna call you out and say, no, it didn't happen that way. If you look back to Utah, and you look back to this ad, this Facebook ad that everybody's talking about, that Make America Awesome, the Liz Mayer group, put out. And they say, well, we're not pro-Cruz, we're anti-Trump. You're splitting hairs. It's semantics. There are two people in the race. If you're not for one, then you're for the other. That's just how it works. Because I don't recall any Make America Awesome ads in support of Hillary Clinton. I don't recall any Make America Awesome ads in support of Bernie Sanders or John Kasich. So, by rational thought, by standard deduction, you can see that they're anti-Trump, but they're also pro-Cruz. And the ad said, here's Melania Trump or whatever. This could be your first lady, or vote for Ted Cruz on Tuesday. That's what it said. This could be your first lady, Melania Trump, half naked from a GQ ad, or vote for Ted Cruz on Tuesday. So who do they support? I'll ask you that again. You can say they don't have any connections. You can't talk to your PAC. It's illegal. You can't do it because nothing these politicians do is illegal, right? Everything they do is on the up and up, right? No, of course not. They make silent circle phones out there. I hear them advertised on the news all the time. They used to advertise them on Hannity and Rush during the day on the radio. These silent circle phones where you can call somebody and everything gets deleted in 15 seconds afterwards. Or text messages disappear, or it's unhackable. They have these phones. They're out there. If they wanted to, they could just, each of them has one of these phones. They say, hey, did you see that ad we're coming up with? Oh, yeah, I saw it. I like it. Go with it. I don't know that that's the conversation that happened. All I'm saying is to believe that they don't talk to each other, that there aren't, well, this person knows this person, who knows this person and this person, and it's four or five times removed, and they talk to each other. To think that doesn't happen is naive. You'd be believing that politicians are always on the up and up, and they're not. Not Ted Cruz, not Donald Trump, not Hillary Clinton, none of them. I got news for you. Ronald Reagan wasn't on the up and up all the time. Should I bring up Iran-Contra? It happens, people. So to say that Ted Cruz had no idea, I don't believe that. And to say that Make America Awesome doesn't work as an agent of the Cruz campaign, I don't believe that either. Liz Mayer is no friend. She's no friend of someone she doesn't like, essentially. She worked for the Scott Walker campaign. They tanked that. This guy was just about all but coronated last March, if you remember. Scott Walker was going to be the guy to beat until they ran that campaign into the ground, until he started talking in public. Then things started to get a little hairy for him. He looked completely inept in the debates. He sounded like sour grapes whenever he would speak about Donald Trump or anybody else before or after he dropped out. You know, preparing for a debate is the job of the senior advisors in the campaign, the campaign managers, and Liz Mayer fell into that category. So this didn't work out for her, so now we're gonna be our own pack. Donald Trump beat us into the ground, so now we're gonna have a pack against him. That's how this works. It's not because they want the betterment of this country. The name "Make America Awesome" is just a phony, you know, kind of slight gag on "Make America Great Again." If you can't figure that out, then this show is way beyond your level. So, I don't like where this started with Ted Cruz and the mudslinging. He started it. Make America Awesome started it. And then Donald Trump retweets this picture of Heidi Cruz and Melania. And I guess it was someone put a picture together and the top of it said, "No need to spill the beans. A picture's worth 1,000 words. Now, should Trump supporters be ashamed that Melania Trump is very pretty? Should we not want a very, very pretty first lady? I mean, that would be in stark contrast to both the Obama and the Clinton presidencies, if you ask me. I think Laura Bush is very pretty. She's not Melania Trump, but she's pretty. It's to make you feel bad? Well, I don't feel so bad about it, to be honest with you. And Heidi Cruz has her own demons. And I don't think Donald Trump spilled any of her demons. Some of us know what they are. Some of us don't care. But some people do care about it. And then this thing with the Inquirer happened. The National Inquirer runs an article today that maybe they're not so thrilled with because they didn't put it online. It was only in the paper. That Ted Cruz may or may not have had a few affairs. Well, I wouldn't be totally surprised, and not because it's Ted Cruz. I wouldn't be surprised because he's a politician. They seem to do this. A lot of these politicians are guys that just weren't all that popular when they were younger. And they become politicians, and all of a sudden they have this little bit of power, and women think they can, I guess, either gain something from it, or they're attracted to the power, or whatever it is. I don't know. I'm not a woman or a politician, so I don't know what the attraction is. If it's true, it's damning to the Cruz campaign. And some of his donors have even said now, if it's true, they're gone. He's saying it's not true. He's saying Donald Trump put his friend David Pecker, who runs the National Enquirer, up to it. Now, the National Enquirer has run a lot of really terrible stories. You know, they found the Bat Boy, and there are alien structures in Las Vegas, and all sorts of weird stuff. And yeah, most of what you read there is entertainment value only. But once in a while, a nugget comes through. And that nugget was a 2008 article about John Edwards and his wife. How he was having an affair with his wife who had cancer. And lo and behold, the same reporter, who also happens to have a Pulitzer Prize, wrote the article about Ted Cruz and his affairs. So that's where people start to say, is this true or not? If it was just a random article by somebody nobody had ever heard of before, it would have been dismissed. We wouldn't even be mentioning it right now. But because the author has a track record of being right when it comes to these matters especially, we're talking about it. We all know that Ted Cruz and Heidi Cruz have a strained relationship, or at least had a strained relationship. They lived apart. Heidi lived in Washington, D.C. Ted Cruz lived in Texas. He had asked her to come back to be part of the family, to be a mother, to be his in-house wife, for lack of a better term. She came back, she had a bout of depression. It's fine, we all go through it. Well, I guess a lot of us maybe have gone through depression in some level. I'm not condemning her for that. In fact, I'm glad she fought through it, to be honest with you. It's not easy to fight through. But we know there's a strained relationship. And then you take this guy's credentials, the author's credentials, and you start to put two and two together, along with the fact that a lot of politicians have had this affliction in the past. So we're all kind of stitching this together and connecting the dots, and I'm not going to make any inferences. I'm just telling you the article is out there. If it's true, he's in big trouble. Because you can't be this big family values guy, the staunchest conservative out there, and have this hanging over your head. It has damned a lot of good people in the past, this sort of stuff. Did Donald Trump put the National Enquirer up to it? I don't think so. I don't think so because that would be easily outable. Someone could out him for doing that. An intern that works at the National Enquirer, somebody who has an axe to grind, could easily find that information out. Do I think maybe the Enquirer gave them the story first and said, hey, we're printing this? Yeah, maybe. That might have happened. And that's not against any laws. We saw Ted Cruz call Donald a sniveling coward. So maybe that was a couple of days ago or yesterday. Maybe Trump saw that and he went, well, yeah, go ahead and run that. I don't care. I don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows. All we know is it's out there. And people will be digging for the next 3 or 4 or 5 days, even a week. We'll be talking about this next week, I'm sure. People will be digging into this. And we will find out at least a portion of the truth, I would say, probably by Monday. The Enquirer says they still have, I guess, private investigators interviewing people. And they haven't named names, but they've given you positions and people that you may know based on descriptions. So, for Ted Cruz's sake, I hope it's not true. For the sake of our primary contest, I hope it's not true. I hope we haven't gone through all of this and all this mudslinging and back and forth just to have one candidate now essentially have to bow out. So, we'll see. All right. We're going to talk about a little bit more, maybe about this in the next segment. We'll talk about President Obama, what he's been up to the last couple of days. I want to tell you about my minimum wage argument. I meant to tell you about it last show, and a few of you caught me and said, hey, you promoted it, and then you didn't tell us. We were waiting for it. So hopefully you waited through Wednesday to Friday, and I'll tell you today. So in the meantime, head over to Twitter. Give me a follow, and I'll follow you back. I'm pretty good about that. At Rhino on Air. That's at Rhino, R-Y-N-O, on air. Or you can email me, as always, questions, concerns, comments, rhino@rwbnetwork.com. That's rhino@rwbnetwork.com. You can always check out rwbnetwork.com, the website. Lots of articles there. And rhinoreport.com website as well. We'll be back in about 90 seconds.
You've been listening to The Rhino Report. Always right. Copyright 2016.
Hey guys, your host and your friend The Rhino here, and I gotta tell you about one of my favorite companies. And you guys know, I don't talk about companies unless I really believe in them. And I believe in Liberty HealthShare. There's a movement in healthcare today. It's a movement of people who are ready to stand up and take charge of their healthcare. It's people like you and me who are tired of paying way too much for healthcare and getting way too little. Liberty HealthShare is leading the movement of people who want freedom from health insurance. Enjoy the advantages of living a healthy lifestyle, which results in keeping healthcare costs down. Americans are taking action by joining Liberty HealthShare and taking control of their health and healthcare costs. Administrative costs are kept low, and Liberty HealthShare shares an actual cost, not just projections. You choose your own doctor, you choose your own hospital, and live out your values with freedom. Liberty HealthShare members are exempt from penalties associated with the Affordable Care Act. So why wait? Join the movement. Together we're changing healthcare for good. Get a free estimate at www.joinlhs.com or call 800-722-8041. That's www.joinlhs.com or call 800-722-8041. Do it today.
This is Jeff Carlisi from the band 38 Special. Let us never forget that police lives matter.
I never knew there'd come a day
All right, we are back here with the Rhino Report. I am your host and your friend, the Rhino. I had to get a little drink of water there in the break. You know, a lot of people don't realize when you just talk for 30 minutes, I don't know, I guess your throat gets dry. It happens to me all the time. You know, some shows, they do a lot of call-in shows, and it gives the host a break. You can take a sip of water. You have what's called like a cough button, where if you have to clear your throat or something like that, it won't go out over the airwaves. But sometimes when you talk for a half an hour, boy, my mouth gets really dry. I don't know. But, you know, I hope I sounded a little calmer than I normally sounded in that first little segment. I was talking with somebody from a network a couple of days ago. You know, we're always trying to get this show expanded and get on more terrestrial radio stations, AM and FM alike, across the country. And I was talking to a program director, actually a VP of programming, and he listened to my demo and he was ready to get us on about four or five stations, and he said, "You know what? You just sound like another angry white guy." That's what he said to me. "You sound like another angry white guy." So hopefully I don't sound as angry now. Not that I'm taking that as a bad thing. There's a lot of angry folks out there. I just happen to be one of them, and maybe I'm white. So maybe he's right, but I'm not going to apologize for it. So I guess that happened on, I don't know, Wednesday maybe? Maybe it was Wednesday that happened? But I don't know. Be that as it may, if you don't want me on your network, then I just don't want to be there. So that's fine with me. We heard today that we have killed the number two ISIS head there. The number two in command, his name was Haji Imam. He was killed by a U.S. Special Forces. It was an operation they did, and he's dead. So there'll just be another number two in line. That's the problem here, is that you cut the head off the snake, and it just regrows the head. We've been seeing this for how long now with ISIS and with Al-Qaeda? If you remember back when George W. Bush had the deck of cards, you had the Ace of Spades, I guess, was Bin Laden, and whoever else was in that deck of cards. You know, the only way to get rid of them, the only way, is to get them from the bottom up, all right? It's kind of like if you want to get rid of a lot of the drugs in this country, arrest the people who are financing it, these wealthy banker types that are financing these drug trades. We just saw the other day about this woman trying to get on an airplane. She was a stewardess with 70 pounds of coke in her bags, and she happened to be a track star. So she dumped her shoes, and she took off. As soon as she was picked out for a random screening, she dipped. That was it. She was gone. But they caught up with her, and they're charging her, and now she has no idea it was even on her person. But you have to go after the low-level people. If you start arresting and executing these people who are going over to Syria and over to Iraq to fight for ISIS, less people will go. If they know the minute they get there, Special Forces is going to pick them up and execute them, put them on trial or whatever it is, they'll stop going. If you just keep getting the head and the head keeps getting lopped off, it gives the people towards the bottom hope that they may be towards the top at some point, because they'll all just keep getting ratcheted up the ladder a little bit. You have to go after the bottom. If you go after the bottom and you go after their recruiting and not just try to intercept text messages, get them, physically capture them and take them back to the U.S. or put them in Gitmo if it's still around, or who knows, make a jail over there for them, or put them on trial and execute them. Whatever it is, they are not covered under U.S. law. They're not entitled to due process. They're not on U.S. territory. They're not U.S. citizens. But that's what we have to do if we want to stop this, is you have to go after the bottom. Those are the ones that keep the feeder stream. Those are the ones you have to go after. So number two is gone. I'm sure a number two is already in place. We just don't know his name yet. I doubt it's a her. That's why I said his. And I'm sure we'll find out tomorrow or the next day. We have to be careful now. If you remember when Jihadi John, the guy who was purportedly the one who was cutting off the heads off of the reporters and the photographers back in September and October after we killed him with a drone strike. Well, then San Bernardino and Paris happened. So these tend to spawn the next attack. That's just, if you look back, that's what's happened. So hopefully we can thwart any attack that may be retaliation for killing Haji Imam. And he has some other name that I can't pronounce. I'm not even going to try, because at the end of the day, I don't care. Now, I told you on the last episode, I wanted to tell you about why I think raising the minimum wage is such a bad idea. And there's people have arguments for it on both sides. Especially those four, you know, they say they can't live on the $9 an hour or whatever it is now, $8 an hour, and they can't raise a family on it. Well, then you have people that say, well, you shouldn't be able to because these are entry-level jobs. You shouldn't make a career out of flipping burgers. It's just not what your career goals should be. And even flipping burgers, let's just say McDonald's. McDonald's offers their employees lots of different ways, grants and scholarships to go to college and then maybe move up the ranks either in the McDonald's corporation or elsewhere. I'm not sure if you have to sign a contract or not. But the minimum wage is going to be an issue for a long time. We've seen Seattle now pass minimum wage laws, raising it to $15 an hour. New York State is about to do it. There are plenty of places that are doing it, but it's not economically feasible to do it. Now, you could say, as a business owner, you can't do it because now you have to lay people off, or you can't afford to have as many people or scale back their hours. That's why we can't do it. Well, yeah, that's one reason. Here's the real reason. Let's say you're a small business owner and you make $200,000 a year in revenue, okay? And you have five employees, each making $10 an hour. Well, that's $2,000 a week in salary. Over the course of 52 weeks, that's $104,000 a year in expenses, employee expenses. Now, that doesn't count payroll taxes and buying staples and paper clips. Let's just make this real simple. So you have $96,000 left of taxable income at year's end. So you had $200,000 you made. You paid your salaries of $104,000. That leaves you with $96,000 of taxable income. So tax that at the average business rate of 40%. And I use 40 because some places it's 35, some places it's 46. Let's just say it's 40%. The government will make on you $38,400 at 40%. Okay? Now, raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Keep those same five employees. Let's just say you can. You make enough money so you can. Now your salary per week for the employees is $3,000. That is $156,000 a year in salary. And minus that from the $200,000 you made. Okay? Because just because you raise minimum wage doesn't mean you're going to make more money. There's no correlation. Now, your taxable income is $44,000, over $50,000 less than it was before, at $96,000. Tax it at 40%, and the government gets $17,600, 50% less than they were getting before. So let me ask you this question. You raise the minimum wage. You have less taxable income because you have more expenses. And now the government's making less money. They're making 50% less money than they were making before because they raised minimum wage. How does that work? We can sustain our budget as it is with the taxes in this country. Now, the highest tax bracket, your small business owners, 80% of the American economy, by the way, is now going to be paying 50% less in taxes. And it's not because you reduced their tax rate, it's because they have less taxable income. As a business owner, you can deduct your expenses, whether you buy a staple, whether you employ somebody, it doesn't matter. Health insurance, it's all tax deductible. It doesn't get taxed. So the 40% gets taxed on what you made at the end, on your profit. 50% less. Could you imagine what happened to our economy if that was the case? If 80% of the GDP was supplying now 50% less money into the coffers, we would fall into an extreme depression. Extreme. Our bond ratings would fall down to C probably, because now we can't even show the income that we have the ability to pay our debts. Right now, we're marginal. We're still at an A or A plus rating because we have the ability to pay it, in theory. Not that we actually pay them. We pay some of them. Well, let me clarify that. We pay Iran. That's who we pay. But it wasn't a ransom, right? $1.7 billion for 10 sailors. It wasn't a ransom. It was legal fees, is what they said. Legal fees for past lawsuits. And it actually helped the American taxpayer, is what Josh Earnest told us, if you remember that correctly, back in January. So this is why raising minimum wage won't work. It can't work. Because you're not guaranteeing that you're going to raise revenues also. You can't say that people are going to take this money, this extra money, and now go spend it. Because what's going to happen is knowledge is power, right? When you go to buy a car, the last thing you do is tell the dealership how much you want to spend or how much you can spend. In any negotiation, the first person to say any number loses. That's how it works. The first person to say a number loses. So if you go into a car dealership and you say, well, I'd like to pay $250 a month, but I guess I could do $350 a month. Guess what you're going to pay? You're going to pay $350. You just told them you had the ability to pay $350. If not more, they may say, well, it's $365. What's $15 between friends? And you go, okay. And you buy it. The same thing happens here. These people, if your renters and your landlords now know what you have, guess what happens to rent? It goes up. Guess what happens to the price of milk? It goes up. The price of goods will increase. And if it doesn't, you're going to have out of control inflation. This is the argument you're not hearing. You're hearing the arguments about we have to be able to live. We have to be able to live. I can't live on $8 an hour. You know, the old adage of you do the minimum amount of work, you get the minimum amount of pay. It's a good adage, and I wholly believe in it. I wholly believe. People who work at these fast food restaurants, listen, if you have to do it, if you've been laid off and you have to work there for a few months, whatever, I get it. I totally get it. But it shouldn't be a career. And you have a fry machine that tells you when the fries are cooked. You don't even have to watch them. It tells you, beep, 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 we're done. Take us out. You don't have to be a cook. You don't have to be anything. And now they have pictures on some of these ordering machines that the nice people stand behind to take your order, because some of them can't even read. So it's like, oh, Big Mac, I guess that's that hamburger. Oh, a quarter pounder, oh, boop, boop, that's that hamburger. Minimum wage jobs are not meant to be jobs long term. Our government wants you to live on minimum wage. In fact, they want to limit CEO salary and they want to raise the bottom wage. That way everybody falls nicely and neatly into this box and they can easily control people. And when you have a bad economy and everybody makes the same amount of money and inflation runs wild, you have what's called communism. And they love it. Obama, Clinton, Sanders, they look at what's going on in Cuba and they love it. It's their ideal society. They haven't built a building there since 1953. The place looks like an old Godfather movie. It's terrible. The cars they drive around are like old Chevelles from like the 60s. And those are the rich people. The average Cuban makes $20 a month, American. $20 a month, American. Did you see Obama over there talking about raising their minimum wage? No. Because they're already the ideal society. They are the pinnacle. Speaking of Obama and Cuba, we saw Obama, he goes to the baseball game, Brussels burning to the ground, people are dead, Americans have died, and he's over in Cuba, And he's palling around with Raul Castro. They're going to baseball games. They're doing the wave. They're having a grand old time. You had that little limp-wristed picture you guys all saw? That's pretty funny. That was actually very funny. When I saw that on TV, I said, oh, I know someone's going to crop that, and they're going to make a meme out of it or a meme, whatever you call it. And it wasn't 10 seconds later, it was there. But the other day, I guess yesterday, he heads over to Argentina, and he does some tangoing, some dancing. The world wants to know where you are. What are you doing? How are you helping to abate the situation with ISIS? Wow, you killed the number two. That's just going to cause a retaliation effect. We all know that. We're not stupid. You're doing the tango. Michelle's doing the tango. You're having a great time. They're going to a resort in the Andes today, if they're not there already. What is this? What is this? You know what they say? He should have been back on terra firma here in the United States. I don't even want him back. Stay there. Stay. We can handle this. We don't need you anymore. Stay. Go to your multi-million-dollar house you're building in Hawaii that I'm not quite sure how you have the money for it. But go there. Don't come back here. And if you do come back, I've said it before, they should impeach Obama on the spot. On the spot, start the proceedings the minute he lands his plane. Dereliction of duties. Dereliction of duties. He has failed to keep this country safe. He has failed to be a leader. Going to a baseball game, doing the wave, hanging out with dictators, taking pictures in front of murals of revolutionaries, doing the tango in Argentina, while terrorism, Islamic terrorism, runs rampant, and it's coming to our shores, people. It's coming here. It came in 2001. We saw it again in Boston. We saw it again in San Bernardino. We saw it at Fort Hood. It's coming again, and it's going to be worse. We've heard they've sent 400 militants out to now do terror waves and terror attacks. And our president is doing the tango. It's not about optics anymore. You watch Fox News, it's optics. The optics are bad. It's bad optics. No, BS. He doesn't care. It's not about optics. You think the press corps or the White House couldn't hold that picture back of the president doing the wave or the tango? Of course they could have. They hold a lot of stuff back from us. But they didn't. They released it. Because he doesn't care. He just doesn't, folks. It's on us now. It's on us now. And thank God we still have the Second Amendment to protect ourselves. Because our government is not doing it for us. They're out gallivanting. It's unbelievable. All right, one more story before we head out for the weekend. There's a statue of Robert E. Lee down in New Orleans that the city council wants down. The city council, a council of all black members, 6-1 voted. There's 7 members. They voted 6-1 to take the statue down. It's a symbol of white supremacy. It's a symbol of hate, and they don't like it. Well, if there's such white supremacy in New Orleans, why is the whole city council black? That doesn't sound very white supremacist to me. They don't want it. They want to destroy our heritage, and that's fine. They've been wanting to do this for a long time. We saw this battle in South Carolina where they wanted to take down the Confederate flag or the battle flag. Most of you know that's not the Confederate flag. That's the battle flag. More specifically, the battle flag of the Army of Northern Virginia. That's what that flag is. But they call it the Confederate flag because they're just too stupid to realize otherwise. So they want to take down this big statue of Robert E. Lee that's been there for many, many years, and it's just yet another example of PC running wild. And hopefully they won't take it down. They can't find a contractor willing to take it down right now. So we'll end that on a good note. All right. So as always, that's it, guys. As always, a huge thank you to those serving our country at home and abroad. Also, a huge thank you to those in the law enforcement community. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for all your hard work. We all depend on you. God bless all of you. God bless all of your families. And until Monday, have a great Easter, everybody. Happy Easter. I'm the Rhino, and I'm out.
Been listening to the Rhino Report. Always right. Copyright 2016.